it's the best Kiwi event in New Zealand, this.
Crossing New Zealand in 1 or 2 days.
Why do I do it? Because I love it.
3, 2, 1, go!
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast. This is actually season number 5 again, brought to you by Team CP, your endurance coaching specialists. Angus Petrie, of course, and alongside me is our team captain, Richard Greer. And Richard, this must make it our 5th birthday.
that's a big milestone, isn't it? I think we'll claim that. It's exciting.
Yeah, you know, a fifth is always a special time, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. We obviously haven't been booted off the air just yet. We've hung in there, which is good. And it's always good to be back, sharing some stories, sharing some learnings, and hopefully this podcast is going to be really useful for those obviously looking at doing the event, but also what happens with the logistics and a bit of behind the scenes type info as well. Hopefully, share a bit of that with our listeners and viewers.
Yeah, we're probably back earlier than what we would normally be back on the air with a Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast, Rich. But you know, there's been a lot of good banter out there. Obviously the entries came in, it went through a ballot. The event is just so popular at the moment, mate. It's just incredible the amount of people that put entries into this race, and we know there's a bit of chat going on in there. So we've got. Obviously, you've got Glenn Curry coming on board tonight just to run through a few questions and see if we can't answer some myths maybe and around the whole thing.
Yeah, just get a bit of an inside story of what's actually going on. What work has the team and Glenn and the team been doing behind the scenes to kind of help us out? Maybe that groundswell of I just want to do the Coast to Coast comes down from the CP media team and the media man with the mo at the race for the last couple of years. Maybe that's the issue. Maybe you need to kind of tone it down a little bit.
Do you think? Well, I was going to say, do you think we should find another event to promote them or something? But no, jokes, Glenn. But no, you're right. Look, it is. You know, it's just what can you do? Like the thing is, and I can understand why people want to do it, right? Like we've all been there, we've done it, we've lived it, we've breathed it. You know, especially from my side of the fence for the last couple of years, and you get a completely different perspective on the whole thing, and you can just see why people are just lining up for this new year.
Yes, absolutely, and it is just exciting. And I think that whole thing about this race opposed to other events. You have a support crew, so those people travel with you. Yeah, I want to do that. So it's got that sort of feeder system sort of already built into it. Just and obviously just it's built into New Zealanders' psyche, isn't it? And as it grows more and more, sort of gone around the world too. So that whole COVID situation, now people are able to come back. So that changes the dynamics and things as well of can we get in and is this an opportunity for me to actually go and do this event now?
Exactly. And what we can promise you is that we're going to be with you all the way through it, holding your hand all the way to help you get you from the west coast of the South Island all the way across to the east coast. We'll have, as always, we'll have tips, we'll have tricks, we'll have guests, we'll have all sorts of things over the series. You know, actually, we haven't even talked about this, Richard, but I assume we'll have a little bit of a layway before we come back in earnest with season 5.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Off season, we didn't have much of a chance to sort of lie down and get a suntan, did we? So who knows? We'll just see what happens there. I guess it just comes down to what the need is, where people are at. And I think that's one thing with this podcast being now, entries have just gone out and there's a lot of people that have got entries. And okay, so what do I do with that? Let's not just hibernate for 6 months and we'll figure it out in spring. Hopefully we can give you a few tips and tricks after Glenn's spoken about, okay, what should you be doing now? What should you be thinking about? So you don't get to sort of September time and like, oh, that's a bit tough. And then give up your spot. So that's part of what we want to do today, but also that's what we're building forward through as well. So looking forward to getting into it.
Absolutely. Righto, shall we bring Glenn Curry on board? Glenn Curry, race director, welcome back to the podcast, mate. Always a pleasure to have you on board.
G'day, lads. Good evening. How are you?
Very good.
Yep. That's a story. How are you getting on, Glenn? Obviously, the event was super successful. You just, in the lead-up, you said, I just want a sunny day. I just want this thing to be able to go well and not have to kind of have B courses, COVID, etc. You've had a tough few years and the event was a stunner this year, which was pretty awesome. So just give us a bit of a recap for a start. What went well from your perspective And what are the areas or major challenges for the event going forward?
Yeah, we were stoked with the event this year. I mean, like you say, we sort of planned for 12 months and have a formula that we want to roll out. And it sort of feels like over the last couple of years, that a month out, we keep having to make, we're sort of forced to make adjustments or whatever based around COVID or based around weather, et cetera. So it was actually finally, we could just actually roll out an event like what we'd planned for 12 months. So, you know, we're really stoked to be able to do that. Things that went well, I suppose, as a team, we sort of have three goals really that we focus on. And the number one thing is athlete experience and trying to put on the best possible experience that we can for those athletes. And we realize the effort that goes into people participating in this event. So as a team, I think we were quite proud of the fact that we felt like we really ticked that number one. And, you know, from most of the feedback from athletes is that they did have that experience that they wanted. So that was awesome. Number two is obviously, you know, sort of focus around health and safety of competitors. So, you know, in terms of we did have a couple of incidents, but in terms of the number of people that we had out there, we're really happy with our processes around health and safety and the end result there. And our big wider safety crew did an amazing job of that. And then number three is support crew experience. And we're well aware this event, you know, because it is so popular, is as much about that support crew as it is the people racing. So, we felt like we did a relatively good job of that, but that's probably definitely areas where the race is getting tested nowadays, is in terms of that support crew. So, you know, we've got a big long list of where we want to tweak things to make it even better experience for them. The weather, that was a highlight for me. I think we did a great job of organising that. Probably my safety teams. I'm so proud of what they achieved this year. Again, it was the largest field that we've ever had. They were up against it, you know, with a number of people all day. So that was pretty cool. Challenges for the future with the event. We acknowledge there's areas, like cell phone coverage is, you know, that's something people want nowadays. They want to be able to contact and push stuff out. And due to the nature of where we run this event, that's really challenging. And, you know, people want to know where their competitors are, et cetera. So that's the general feedback is that's what people want. So that's a challenge for us to see if we can make that happen. You might remember when you first stayed at the start of Rich, and I do when I raced, that wasn't an option. So basically I'd tell my support crew what time I expected to be into transition. I was usually about 30 minutes quicker than on my times and what I actually did. But yeah. that was how the people got their information, was actually, you know, this is my prediction of what I want in. But, you know, the feedback is that people want to be able to know and have as much information as they can around where the competitors are. So that's a challenge for us, and it's something we've actually, you know, been working pretty hard on in the last 6 weeks. So we've got some exciting things that we're going to try and do. I think, the number of people, and I think what we found this year was we sort of planned the event and the facilities around each competitor, and then plus three is what we work on. So when we're planning toilets, we work on the competitor plus three others. So, you know, we're sort of working on around about 4,000. What I found this year with the event is just the amount of people that want to be part of it that are outside of that plus three. And, all of a sudden we've got, you know, Nana and Grandad turning up to camp and watch. And I think Mount White Bridge was probably the, you know, it's just the general public wanting to be part of the event. And it's really challenging for us to plan facilities and things around those numbers of people. I mean, we just don't know. If it's a sunny day, it seemed like the whole of Canterbury was at Mount White Bridge to me. Gorge Bridge to me. And then if it's a, you know, we could plan for that, and then it could be a bit of a miserable day, and we won't have that many people. So, yeah, it's a great thing, but it just, yeah, Canterbury are obviously proud of the event, and they all want to come out and be part of it, and we've sort of got a plan around that as well. So, lots of challenges there. Toilets, you know, we'll continually be challenged. We'll continue adding them, and we'll continually try to improve that area there. So, I always say to people, it's a bit like racing the event, and that's why a lot of people get addicted and want to come back, because you never feel like you have your perfect event. And probably organising is much the same. It's like, oh yeah, that wasn't bad, but if we tweak this here, I reckon we can make the event that much better. So it's a great challenge, and we're already working on ways we can make it better for next year. Again, Mount White Bridge, we acknowledge, you know, that's the one area where all the races come together, and that's a real challenge for us. And we just have to keep improving on that, and seeing if we can do better down there, and we plan to do so.
Well, I mean, I saw it firsthand right at the heart of the two-day arriving from the start, from the first few, from Richard and a few of them turning up there. And then when it really started to get busy there, and to be fair, you know, there was a lot of people there. I was really surprised at how many people were there. But, man, it was pretty efficient. And it looked to me like, you know, the boats had been laid out really well. People had it in their head exactly where they were going. I never really saw anybody doing circles looking for a boat or anything like that along the way. So, it did look like it was going pretty well in there.
Yeah, I think it was mostly smooth. It's just, it's just parking and people really. So we, you know, and there's challenges people don't probably see that we're always coming up against. And I mean, one for me has been that, you know, dock fence the top area that we use have always used for parking for the one day, and they fenced right around that ring. And for the last 3 years, I've been working really hard to get gates put in there so to allow us to still park those one day competitors there, because without that, we really just don't have any options. And that was basically a 24-month, you know, sort of back and forth and working with and fighting with the Department of Conservation to allow us to put gates in there so we can use those facilities. So there's lots of things that we are doing to try to make it better, which people probably don't see. So we'll keep working at that and see if we can get a better end.
And sometimes they don't understand what, like you say, 24 months of going backwards and forwards, how much work's actually going into that. Let's quickly talk about the entries, Glenn. It's been a bit of a topic of conversation out there in the coast-to-coast community. This year, obviously, the ballot system, you know, and this is just because of the sheer love of the sport that we've been talking about earlier on when we opened this podcast and the sheer number of people. Now, you've used a ballot system. So why the ballot system and how did that work?
Yeah, cool. So probably about 4 or 5 years ago, for a lot of people that are new to the sport, I mean, 5 years ago, we opened the event and, basically we had our concession number, and over sort of 9 months, we would sell that concession number out, which was great, you know, and that only 5 years ago, that was the situation. Around 4 years ago, you know, there was all of a sudden a large influx and people basically, we basically sold out in about 6 minutes of entries opening. The feedback that we received from that then was that, you know, for in terms of an internet entry system, that it's unfair for a lot of people who don't have the same speed internet or the ability to access the entries at the exact time we open. And we could understand that, and it was. So we said, righto, how can we make this system more fair? So our theory there was that we create a ballot system where we have the entries open for a certain amount of time. And then basically we put it into a system that automatically selects the people for each event. So that was the reason why we went that way. This year was probably, you know, we created that system probably 3 years ago, but the last 3 years in terms of event organization, and I mean, for a lot of industries, has been the most challenging ever. You know, like, it's been really, really challenging. We don't know, you know, we don't know whether we can host an event, and then we don't know how many people we can have, et cetera. So the system actually never really got tested. Like, for example, last year's event, we actually only had around 250 entries to sell when we opened the entries last year. So the ballot system all of a sudden became a little bit defunct. It wasn't actually really tested. This year with the system, so we used the ballot system again this year. We actually opened the ballot really early, pre this year's event. The reason why is that we wanted to be able to come out as soon as possible and give competitors the heads up that they have got an entry, so that they can start the process of actually completing the event as soon as possible. I mean, everyone knows the complexities around actually doing the event in terms of getting a Grade 2 certificate and having 12 months to train. So we thought, well, if we get in early, we'll give everyone the heads up as soon as we can that they have got a position, and that will give them a great amount of time. It did create challenges in behind the scenes. I think there's a bit of an opinion out there that the coast-to-coast is driven by a large corporate team. Predominantly, there's two of us that work on it, and on other aspects of our life, it's not necessarily our full-time jobs. And you know, it created challenges in the back end for us when we were trying to wrap up this year's event, as well as try to organise that amount of people and get entries out. So we, you know, did we predict that we would have had, you know, around 4,500 people sign up to the ballot? I probably would have said, no, that won't happen. But that's what did happen, which, you know, created challenges in itself. And one of those challenges would be the ability to scroll through all those people and try to pick out names that potentially should have priority, et cetera. So yeah, that's how the ballot system works. So basically, they go into a system. It's automated. We have numbers allocated to each event, and so that those numbers get spat out, and then basically from then on, the wait list is created in behind that. Yeah, so I don't know if that's a sort of good good overview of how our ballot system works.
So it was completely random, basically. So there was no, like, I live in Meffin, so these people are around the corner. I'm going to just slide them in. So there was none of that going on. It was just like, oh, it's too hard to handle. I'm just going to throw it out there.
Have you not seen my new car, Richard? No, it was completely random. I opened the ballot list just to have a look one night, and I started scrolling and I was scrolling and I was scrolling, and I just shut the thing straight away and said, "What'll be, will be." Basically, so that was how it happened. So yeah.
So what about that though? What about the elite athletes, Glenn, that have ended up, you know, because essentially if you win the thing, you get a ticket to the next year. If you don't, anybody else sort of further back's kind of just in the list with everybody else, are they? So what about those that, you know, have created some really good racing, and perhaps in the 2 day even, things like that? Do you fear that maybe you're taking away some of that competitive front end racing that could go on that may not go on?
So I think that's probably
as well.
I think that's probably
the growth of the sport.
And the growth of the sport. Yeah, so that's one of the challenges. But I think that's probably, you know, where there is probably a little bit of misunderstanding, and we do hold entries back, and we hold a particular number back for the elite category. The elite category is critical to the Coast to Coast. I mean, legends have been made out of this event, you know, like, I mean, if you've like me and you've followed it for years, you know, you can drop names for the last 40 years. So it is such a cool part of the event, and the fact that they start on the side, same start line as everyone else pretty much. So we do hold back elite entries. And for the past 4 or 5 years, generally what it has involved is me compiling an email list of people who email us who are elite and wanting an entry, and then looking at results from the previous years and emailing those people in around June each year and saying, look, you know, we've got these entries held. Would you like a space? And in all the occasions so far, it hasn't actually been a situation where I can't fulfill all the people that wanted a space. This could happen this year, and we are looking at a criteria. But yeah, we definitely hold elite entries, and the email just went out to the 1 day competitors at the moment explaining what that elite entry system works. And that's happened for the last 5 years, and I'm sure there's plenty of those elite athletes that'll back me up saying that they've received an email me through mid-year. We understand that those guys, you know, they've probably come out of 12 months of heavy training, and in February, 1 week after the event, they don't want to make a decision whether they want to race again next year. You know, they need to sit back and work out what they're going to be doing with their time, etc. So yep, there will be an elite field. One challenge we do have, and one thing that I was actually really stoked with at the event this year, was the younger ones racing in the 2 day. And I think the level of the 2 day racing this year was probably, I think in my time, the best I've ever seen. It was so good to see, and it was competitive, and they wanted that win as much as those longest day competitors wanted. So, and that's an area that I'm going to work on. So those competitors that were in those top positions, although they might be not on the start list at the moment, that's that they also, you know, will be offered entries, and whether it is for that 2 day or 1 day. And coming out of this year's event, I think, you know, from our perspective, one area we really want to build is that under 23 competitive category in the 2 day event, because I think we saw it just naturally happened this year, and it was some great racing. Like it was awesome to see. So give me a couple of weeks and we'll have a plan based around that too.
Well, that's a great answer, Glenn. 2 day was my highlight of the weekend, actually. I think the 2 day, and there was, you're right, the young guys, there was the young fellas at the front, and Richard, and and then that women's race, that was just outstanding. Those, you know, sort of start of day two, there were five of them pretty much that were sort of could have gone anyway, and they all ended up, four of them all ended up at the finish line together there. It was fabulous.
It was awesome to see. So yeah, long may that continue, and that's our challenge to make sure that it does.
Yeah, nice Glenn. So if you're on the wait list this year and don't get an entry, do you have a better chance next time around, or what's the sort of go there? What's the plan?
Yeah, so we had that situation last year. So we had waitlisters that were still on the wait list waiting for the 2023 event and missed out. So basically what they did is they went back into the ballot system. We actually automatically put them in the ballot system unless they said otherwise. If they didn't receive a ballot place, they were actually went straight, they maintained their position on that wait list, or if someone in front of them had obviously got a ballot, they moved up the wait list. So they were carried over. And their plan is basically to run that system again next year.
So they didn't just get automatic entries.
They went through the ballot system. So they didn't get automatic entries. They had to go through the ballot system. If they didn't get a ballot position, they were back into the wait list, but they maintained the position from the year previous. So they were up, they're basically up the top of the wait list. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's nice.
Brilliant. So
for the future, so that's what you're going to do in the future as well, like just because you're on the wait list this year. Like, because it is, I mean, it's hard because you could look at the wait list this year and say, well, next year's sold out if you went on that theory, couldn't you, that you were going to take your wait list and give them a spot. But are we, you know, like, I feel a little bit probably for the person who's on the wait list either again and so goes through the motion and end up on the wait list the next time as well. Like, are we going to lose some people out of this, you know, if they just can't get their shot?
I think a fair few. It pretty much depends on what event you want to do. I mean, the tandem event is, you know, that we get a huge amount. I mean, we could basically sell the whole event out if there was 1,000 tandem kayaks, AR duos. We could basically sell that event out in terms of the tandem event. There's that much demand for it. So the reality is that's really going to be luck of the draw. I would imagine I think the most of those people that were on the wait list last year will be getting an entry, you know, will receive an entry this year, you know. Again, next year it will be interesting. One criteria for that is that if you are offered a spot this year and you choose not to take it off the wait list, you won't maintain your position on the wait list next year. That's basically basically how that'll work. So
that makes sense. So how's that wait list tracking? Obviously there's a bunch of people on there, so. And obviously you've got a bit of previous data of what's happened in the past. They've probably got a little bit of feel for things, but it feels like this year's a wee bit different. So I had a client today that I talked to. He's number 488. So what are his chances? But I guess it's like, is this a bit of a false wait list? Like, because you've got people in multiple entry lists as well. And actually maybe there's a bunch of people that just put their name down because they got excited. And so maybe we're churning through it faster than what we're normally doing. So how are we rolling compared to previous times?
Yeah, so it's crystal ball gazing stuff, really. Like we 3 years ago, we had a wait list and we were like, wow, look at the size of the wait list. We'll never get through that. Sort of, you know, 6 months later, we're offering out entries again, you know. So we churned through it really quick. Last year, the wait list did not move a lot. And we put that down to the fact that people had already waited 12 months for that position. So if they'd hung on that long, they were most probably definitely going to do the event. So they signed up. So it is crystal ball gazing. I mean, we're 12 months out. So a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of injuries to be had, et cetera. So I would imagine there'll be a fair churn, but we just can't say. So, I mean, yep, maybe we shouldn't go out and say you're 480th, but if we don't, I know that I'll get emails from everyone who's not included below 200 asking exactly where they were, you know, so that just gives them an indication of where they are. In terms of the waitlist so far, I think we've got to remember to enter the ballot, it was free. So I'm sure there was a lot of people that were sitting on their couch January 10th, and they probably enjoyed the Christmas festival season, thought, you know, I'm going to do the Coast to Coast next year. It doesn't cost me to throw my name in that ballot. And they put their name in, and all of a sudden they received a notice saying you've got an entry, and they're like, oh, and that then got back to work and changed their mind. So we've actually, I think when we are from our initial waitlist offer, only around 75% of people took up the offer. So there was around 25%, which, you know, and we have gone out and offered those just in the last 24 hours. So already we've shifted a large chunk of the waitlist into the event. So there will be, I would imagine there will be a large churn, particularly over the next 8 weeks as we move through and actually, you know, sell the positions that are available, I suppose.
Is that the other 25%, Glenn? Is that how much is 25%? How many numbers have you just thrown back in?
Around about 200 entries, more entries got offered out. Yeah.
Because of course there's, and I know of a couple that are in this instance, that if you're a two-person team, especially in that teams realm. Both of you have put an entry in the ballot. So, and on a couple of occasions, both people have actually got chosen in the ballot. So of course, one of them isn't going to take it. So that brings somebody else in. But what about that? And what about, let's just quickly talk about the people who have entered multiple events, those that put five entries in or whatever, that are now also sitting on multiple wait lists. Should we have been filtering this and saying, look, you only enter one event, pick the event you want to enter, or we'll do a random filter and you'll end in wherever you end in? Or how do you combat that?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, that's a real challenge for us. And I mean, it's all good to be able to say, you know, they should have filtered it. No one told me there was going to be 4,500 people put their name on the ballot and in multiple categories. You know, like someone had indicated we may have thought about it. Like, I mean, hindsight's a beautiful thing. And you know, like there seems to be a lot of people with a lot better hindsight than what I potentially have. You know, we didn't predict. And yep, people used the system how they wanted to and entered as many categories as they could in the hope of getting a position. If they'd told me that last year, I would have said, yeah, good option. You know, there'll be 2,000, you know, people on the ballot and it'll give you a greater chance. Nowadays, you know, yeah, we will look at the system again and see how we can do it better, really. Yeah.
Maybe to upgrade that vehicle that you're running, maybe you need to put a cost on entering the ballot, Glenn. That might
well, yeah. I mean, it's been discussed, you know, do you charge to actually put your name on the ballot? I mean, it'd be great from our end, you know, like obviously. So, yeah. So maybe that is the, you know, the option.
Go, Richard.
Oh, no, I was just going to say like that, that ticket system, do you need to qualify? Have you thought along those lines at all to, get people started and maybe even doing some lead-in events to get
For the event overall, Richard,
I guess that question for me came out of sort of at that elite end a little bit more, didn't it, in terms of actually getting a spot because you've done well in other events. But I don't know, is that something you've looked at or thought about in terms of a bit of a precursor to the event, doing some other things beforehand?
Yeah, again, I think, it would have been, you know, like if we, you know, maybe that is something that going forward that we could put into the entry system. We couldn't foresee that, you know, the situation, you know, the number of people we're going to have keen for entries this year, and maybe it is something we do. Again, it is a real challenge. And so I explained the elite system before where, you know, you can qualify with time, you know, you can use an Ironman time to qualify, et cetera. But the Kathmandu Coast to Coast is really, really unique, you know, so it's hard to say, well, you know, this is how people do it in triathlon, or this is how they do it in for Kona, for Hawaii, or UTMB, you know, like that's how they do it. There's not a World Series of races like Coast to Coast where you can easily say, oh, that one sort of fits the purpose, take some points from that. It's just, it's not quite that feasible. The other thing is like for a lot of people, this is a real bucket list event. And let's be honest, it's expensive to come and do it by the time you buy your gear, et cetera. So their focus is completing a Coast to Coast, you know, and if you've got family and you're juggling training and you're juggling finances, to ask people to go to do multiple events before they can actually be offered an entry, you know, again, I just concerned that are we making it even more elitist? So, could look at it. But, and I mean, we all know that if you want to do, you know, if you want to have a successful race, it's actually really beneficial to do those other races. I'd advise anyone to go and do as many races as you can. And I mean, the North Island has the Motu, which is a fantastic event. And, there's other events throughout, you know, the Twizel Hard Labour, et cetera, that, you know, there's other great events around where people can do. So, yeah, I would say go do it. But, point system-wise, multi-sports are complex beast. And, I just can't see how that'll fit just at the moment.
We just got a few questions coming through online, which is great. Plenty of people watching and listening to this. Tony McGuire's
actually asking... I feel like a politician, Angus.
Yeah, that's right.
I just wish I got paid as much.
This could be your Mike Hoskins or Duncan Garner interview here, mate. You talk about coming off the wait list, and if you get chosen to come off the wait list and you turn it down, that you don't get in on the wait list next time. But what if we're only a couple of months out? Like, is that just going to be a hard and fast rule, or, you know, you all of a sudden get down to you still can take one or two on and you're only actually 2 months out from the race start or something like that? Will that still apply?
We'd probably do it by case of that situation, and we do understand that, you know, that's challenging. And And it actually, yeah, brings me to a question I think you've got down the track for me, and why we, you know, do certain things. So we would look at it. I can appreciate that if you're training for a longer stay event and you find out 8 weeks out, there's not a huge likelihood that you are going to take it, you know, like that's probably too much to ask. So, yeah, there'll be case-by-case basis. So, we would look at it in this terms of the situation.
That brings me to like the mountain run, which might be what you're alluding to there. Like, should those dock concessions go back into the full coast-to-coast event and then actually not be used for the run event itself, just in terms of, I guess, the filling up the event and getting people actually on the start line or three-person teams?
Yeah, so quite a few people have talked about there were other events created a number of years ago to you know, reboost the event. And, you know, like there's a lot of chat, you know, like people talk to me about the fact, well, now they're taking positions away from, you know, the 2 day individual or the, you know, the 1 day individual. This year we had the largest number of 1 day or longer stay athletes ever. And we also had the largest number of 2 day individuals ever in terms of the event. We have, in the last 3 or 4 years, we have increased the concession with DOC from what was 800 to 1,000 people. And that's capped. So we won't, 1,000 people is all we're allowed over Goat Pass over those 2 days. And there's, you know, I mean, environmentally, probably don't any, and also from our operation side, we don't want any more. So it's not a matter of less people getting to do those individual events. We've actually got more people doing those events. It's the ability for the event to actually be able to host them and spread them out. The mountain run was definitely created initially to give people the opportunity to want to be cut part of the coast to coast to get a bit of a feel for the event, and we've slowly reduced the numbers in that event. And last year we offered out, when it opened, we offered out 30 individual entries, and that's all that we sold. Come January and February, when we do have entries become available, and you know, people talk about the fact that, well, you know, that at that time it's pretty hard to commit to a multi-sport event as a mountain runner. You know, 4 weeks out, you could still say, yeah, I want to go run Goat Pass. So it's still an option for us to offer them out to mountain runners if that's the case. And that that gives us the ability to still have our full concession basically used and people experiencing that run. So it does still have its place. But yeah, I mean, it is part of the event and it's a cool part of the event, but it's probably definitely not a priority. And, you know, it's sort of, and it fits well with a lot of people, you know, in terms of a lot of our sponsors that want to bring people from overseas and participate in the event, etc. It does have its place there. So, and that's sort of where it sits.
There's another really common question that gets bantered around, and that is, why don't you have it on separate days or separate weekends and run the 1 day and the 2 day or the tandems or the whatever on separate weekends? And I'm probably going to help answer that. And by those people probably don't understand what it takes to actually run an event and how much it costs to have all of that going on there to run it twice. But I guess that's really not a possibility, is it?
No, I think probably mainly for my sanity, actually, Angus. But it is. I'd argue with anyone that Coast to Coast is the most complex event in New Zealand, if not outside of it, in terms of the different people you've got to operate with in the different departments. And, you know, I think we're the only event, you know, like basically event that shuts down a state highway. You know, we're the only event that, you know, we're going through 3 different district councils, et cetera. So we just basically wouldn't get permission to do it. I mean, the reality is, well, I think if you tried to create something similar to coast nowadays, you know, you just wouldn't be able to get away with it. Like, it wouldn't get ticked off. It's just because it's got so much history that, you know, we're lucky to be able to still put it on. So yeah, it would be nice to be able to try to do that. But the reality is that, you know, in terms of the infrastructure too around the event, it just wouldn't be feasible to try to get it out there on course. Yeah.
Yeah, nice one. So talk to, like, from your perspective, Glenn, like, your, like, multi-sport is growing in New Zealand, isn't it? And really that's off the back of the coast to coast. Like, there's more and more events kind of popping up that are spread out all around the country, which is amazing. So talk to us about sort of what are the challenges. Obviously, that's maybe built into the coast to coast and help grow it even more. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I don't know if there is, actually, Rich. I'd probably argue that. I would say, actually, there's less and less multi-sport events. And I'd ask Steve Gurney, and I had a yarn about this yesterday, actually. And, I mean, when, you know, when, I mean, back in the day, like, you know, there was a great event called the Gold Rush. There was the Mount Cook to Christchurch. Every little town seemed to run, you know, the local Lions ran a multi-sport event. And you could basically fill your weekends up by doing a multi-sport event. I do appreciate there's a lot of events out there. It seems like there's been a lot this summer. But if you actually dial it down, a lot are either cycling, mountain biking, running, or single discipline events. And even, you know, even kayak events, there's not many where they link them together. So I think there's a real enthusiasm for multi-sport. I actually think the challenge is that we are lacking races. And, you know, outside of Coast, you know, we have Motu and there's some other great smaller races around. But there's probably not that large, those larger races for people to sink their teeth into that really want to make it a sport. And from an elite perspective, so, you know, multi-sport in terms of being an elite is a real challenge at the moment. We were really fortunate a number of years ago where a lot of athletes would go and race in China in a team multi-sport situation. It was a huge scene, although it probably wouldn't get any publicity for sort of the elite multi-sport scene. Everyone would turn up there from New Zealand and actually go, and there was money on offer and you could race there. You know, you could do three or four races in a year, and it was really, really high quality of racing. Well, that's obviously fallen over. So I feel a little bit sorry for the elites at the moment in terms of the challenge of multi-sport. Outside of the fact that within New Zealand currently, you know, there's only really a couple of races for them to really, you know, put their hand up and race in. So I think that, you know, New Zealand multi-sport scene, although it's growing and it's really strong, it's challenging in the fact that due to the lack of races. And basically the reason for that is you know, the challenge to put one on and the cost. They are not cheap, you know, like in terms of if you're going to have river safety, if you're going to have traffic management, et cetera, it is a real challenge to run a multi-sport race. And the Coast is so lucky that we have great sponsors that it can actually happen. And, you know, I mean, it's not a cheap race to enter, but that's because of what's required to actually make it happen. So yeah, I think multi-sport in New Zealand is actually probably, yeah, and in a challenging time, it would be great to see, you know, someone put their hand up and say, right, we're going to give it a really good go at running a quality multi-sport event.
Yeah, I think just so that everybody knows that we clarify that the media helicopter is a really small part of that budget, right?
Yeah, that's right, Angus. Yeah.
Hey, listen, what about, let's just go again, and I don't want to open up your inbox, your email inbox, and fill it full of people's ideas and things, but what about the guy who's, or girl, who's done 9? As an example, and you know, next year would be 10, and that's quite a feat, and that in turn means that they've been there all the way through the low years when it dwindled off its popularity, and they've supported it all the way through. Is there a room for a sob story?
Yeah. And Gemma doesn't let me deal with a lot of entries because I'm probably softer. I'm a bit soft, so I can just, oh, jeez. And but it is such a, and I mean, like, this is challenging for us. We want to give everyone entries. That's basically that. We want everyone there, and it'll be awesome, and we'll, you know, like, we'll give it. But we have to come up with a system that's fair. That's as simple as it is. It's got to be fair. And I mean, it's never going to be perfect because it is what it is, but it has to be fair, and that's what we're working on. And I get the I've done this for 10 years, and you know, I've been loyal, and I see that. And for a lot of those people, I probably know them, and I'm like, but then I also get the story come through the inbox. I've never had the opportunity to do this. This has been on my goal list, and this is the one time in life that I am actually going to be able to do this event. You know, please, please, please. So who gets priority? I mean, you know, I mean, it's so the ballot system is at the moment, the way that we see as fair is actually giving people the opportunity. I mean, the event's in a great space, and you know, everyone's loving it, and people say, well, you know, maybe, you know, but it's as much about the people that are racing that have actually created that, you know, like they've gone out and spread about how good a time they've had, and that's what spread the enthusiasm for the event, which is awesome. But yeah, we just I mean, yeah, that's why we do what we do, I suppose.
Nice. Team CP coach Aaron Hooper is currently sitting dead last on the wait list, hashtag 10-20. He's wondering if he might get a prize for this. Like, is there a meat pack coming his way? What have you got lined up?
What number is he?
He's 10-20. Final.
Yeah, we've nicknamed him 10-20.
10-20, yeah, that's quite good. Yeah, a meat pack. Yeah, we could probably arrange something like that. So,
well, that's all right, because you actually gave – it's actually okay, Rich, because bloody old Glenn and his ballot there gave a few of our key CP coaches and supporters that help us with our support crew package. You gave them some entries, Glenn, and you've taken away some of our support crew. So,
could be some extra roles there. I mean, if you don't make any, you want to be involved with the event, like there were definitely some areas that we could do with assistance, so that would be awesome. I had, how good was it when Alina Usher's name came out at 380 and I told her, I said, why did you put your name in the ballot? She goes, oh, I just thought I'd do it the same as everyone else. And I was like, and I never saw it. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, thank you, because I'm going to get it in the neck for that, you know. So,
that's been a bit of a question. Well, actually, I had a bit of a thought. So what you're saying there is that she put her name in the ballot. She's on the list, and rightly so. I'm guessing she's probably going to get an entry in that elite field, and there's going to open up a little bit of a can of well, she was 380 on the list. Now, all of a sudden, she's jumped up type sort of thing, right? Is that where you're going with that?
Yeah. Well, I think everyone would understand why Lena would get an entry. She's a legend. But she just said, oh, yeah, I thought I'd just go through the system. She said she was heading overseas and didn't know so she just thought she'd get in there. And I was like, oh, yeah, it would have been good to have a heads up so that I could have actually seen your name. So, if you do see her jump up, Lena probably will get an entry if she's keen to race elites again.
Yeah, cool. Hey, look, Glenn, thank you for coming on. Congratulations, really, more than anything, for making this event so damn popular. You and your very small team that do make this go through. Of course, a big thanks to Kathmandu for their continued support. And if you were at prize giving for this year's Kathmandu Coast to Coast, there was a little slip announcement there that they are back on board for another few years, mate.
Yeah, no, Kathmandu have signed up for another couple of years, which is awesome. They're a great company to be involved with us for us, and they have a really similar story in terms of the coast, you know, being created in Christchurch, and the brand's about 35 years old and came out with a similar ethos to what the coast is about. So great company to be involved with, and it's awesome for us to have them on for another couple of years at least. You know, who knows what the future holds, but yeah, they've sort of slid in there, and there was going to be a big press release and everything, that will happen and whatever. So that's great. And we're not perfect, but we're trying to make this event as good as it as possibly is. And you know, we try to take the fact that there's that many people keen to do it as the fact that we are perfect, and maybe we are doing the right thing. But we will, you know, we're always reflecting on what we do, and we'll continue to do that and try to improve the whole process around the event to try to give people the best experience possible. That's our goal, and we'll keep working at it. So it's good to have challenges, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, mate. It is. So I just want to thank you for, I guess, your honesty, mate, for coming on here. There's, you know, as well as we know, that, like we talked about earlier, there's been a bit of banter on Facebook and some of these Coast to Coast chat groups, which is great, because that's just passion for the event coming out. But to share your honesty about how this worked, how it's going to work, and the fact that you're genuinely learning from all of these processes to get better. Just thank you very much for doing that.
Yeah, no problems. I mean, yeah, no problems. It's good. Yeah.
Well, Glenn, look after yourself. Keep up the great work, and we'll keep in touch with you as the podcast continues on through the season.
Yeah, that'll be good. And all those people that have got entries, grade two, get in your kayaks now. You know, make the most of the end of summer, and don't leave it until November, December next year. And we can't wait to see everyone in February again in Greymouth. So yeah, we'll do it all again. It'll be awesome.
Good job. Well done, Glenn.
Perfect.
Cool.
Thanks, mate. Time. See you.
Catch up. Bye.
Did you note there, Angus, that he mentioned that the event started to take off like 5 years ago, five years ago, and then 4 years ago, it really hit its peak. And that really, like, as we talked about, season five, what are we doing here? So I don't know. Maybe there needs to be some kudos sent our way.
Mate, I think you could be right. Well, we'll keep telling ourselves that anyway. Hey, That was bloody good, eh? That was great of Glenn to come on and go through a lot of that. I see a lot of chat in our in the comments sections that people are making comments of, and really there's some genuine understanding out there within the public of now of what they're up against and things. So that's great to see, and that's great that we've been able to maybe put a few minds at rest.
Absolutely. No, really good. And thanks for your feedback as well as we've gone. We're going to sort of change tack a little bit from the entry sort of criteria and how do we get involved to those people that have accidentally put their name on the wait list and they've slapped the money on the table and say, right, I'm going to do this. I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do this. And as Glenn just said, get in your boat, get your Grade 2 certificate, get yourself sorted before winter, before the water gets cold, and get underway. So we're gonna bring on Tim Hansen, who's new to our coaching team actually, which is super exciting. Tim's been around multi-sport for 10 years plus. He's done the longest stay this year, and one of the cool things with Tim is he's actually based in Auckland, so which is really cool just in terms of having that link for people to work with out of there. And he's also involved in the local Waitemata Kayak Club as well. So, Tim, how are you getting on?
Yeah, hey, guys. Good to be here. Just thinking, wouldn't want to have Glenn's job, eh?
No. I see somebody else popping up there saying we don't envy you for your job along the way. Totally. There. Hey, Tim, you're a bit of a virgin to our podcast here, so welcome to the show, mate. And I guess just like Richard said, like everybody, like there's a, I guess because of the amount of, the amount of people I know who didn't get an entry in the Coast to Coast must mean that there's a whole lot of new people that have. So we are going to have a lot of newbies in this 2024 Coast to Coast.
Yeah, totally. It sounds like there'll be lots of them, isn't it? So, which is super exciting.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about you for a start, Tim. So give us a little bit about your background, like you did longest stay this year. Tell us a little bit about just your experience. What were two or three key learnings? Like every time we stand on the start line, we always want to learn something, don't we? So what were your learnings? Did the longest stay. So what were some of the takeaways for you? Again, that's passing it on to others, maybe looking to line up for the first time.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, every race is different, isn't it? And Coast to Coast longest day, Coast to Coast in general, it's a complex beast. And it's something pretty unique to New Zealand, right? So it's super special. But I think it's quite easy to sort of get into that mindset of, man, this is just so complex. There's so much to organize. I'm going to get frustrated. So that it's kind of a mindset piece, right? Like you've got to think of it as a really big adventure. Because acknowledge it. It's complex, it's hard, and it's going to take a lot of time and probably, you know, a few weekends away from home, particularly if you're living in the North Island. So I think that's just the big thing is from a mindset piece. Think of it as a big adventure because it is, and it's great fun, right? But I think it's really easy to sort of slip into that mindset of, oh, man, this is super difficult. Like, it's so complex, and it's going to rattle me. So have fun. It's a big adventure, and it is, right? So just acknowledge it for what it is and respect it for what it is and just go out there and have some fun.
Hmm. And it's also a matter of breaking it down to its little bits as well, isn't it? Bit by bit, in terms of how do I build up? And just as Glenn said, get in your boat. So what are some of those things that people should be doing now from your experience, obviously, from a coaching perspective and also living outside of the Canterbury Christchurch region and getting yourself organised as a first timer?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think right now it's about strength and mobility, right? Like it's lots of time in the gym. I recommend you go to a physio and get a muscle imbalance assessment just so that you can sort of understand where am I tight, where am I weak, and so you can kind of build a bit of a program around that. It's coast to coast, you've got to be strong, right? And training will ramp up across the year, but to have a solid sort of foundation now to set you up for success is probably a really good place to start, and it's going to, you know, help with that injury prevention as well. So I think that's a really good place to start. And Glenn mentioned as well, get your bum in some boats, you know, like now's the time to go shopping for a boat. Get yourself into as many as you can, depending on your experience with kayaking. But if you're new to it, try as many as you can. Just get out there and just try them. Advice, go stable and stay stable. Don't be one of those people that's like, oh, I'll get an intermediate boat because I'll grow into it. And you see it every single year, right? I think it's usually November, December, you'll see all these intermediate boats on for sale going, oh, look, I've overboated myself. So just be really careful in that space and, you know, just, you know, stay stable, you know. That would probably be some wise advice there. And just use the ones that work. Sorry,
Tim, how do people do that? Because they're not, I mean, hey, where do I do this? How do I find boats? Like, I might have a friend maybe with a boat, but that's about as far as I might get. How do people figure that out?
Yeah, totally. So connect to your local clubs, like with the club that I'm involved in, the Waitemata Canoe and Multisport Club, there's boats there to use. And 9 times out of 10, these multi-sport or kayak clubs all have a fleet of multi-sport boats. So connect with your local clubs. At the Waitemata Club, we've got about 6 or 7 multi-sport boats of different abilities. So that would probably be a really good place to start. And, of course, there will be people out there in the community as well. There's lots of Facebook groups and stuff out there that you can get involved with. And, hey, jump into them, get involved with them. And you might be able to pick up some, you know, some people that have got that are willing to let you have a paddle in their boat as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice work. And then winter obviously is the time that we want to work on the things we're not so good at. So it's really about getting that big picture plan together, isn't it? How are you going to do this? That's the key thing, is the roadmap to from here to there. And where do I break it down? Because we don't need to work on everything at the moment. I think that's the other thing that people do, and then they end up, I don't know, blowing out until December, and I'm completely cooked by the time February comes around because I've put so much effort and energy into this thing.
Yeah, totally. And it's about kind of being patient, right? Because you get super excited. You've got your entry. You're like, oh, I'm going to go send it and do all these crazy races this part of the year. And it's like, no, just sort of pull things back. And as you say, it's about getting that right advice, right, and sort of stepping back and building that roadmap up until February next year, what that might look like. And there are some pretty decent races across the country, and they are sort of towards the end of this year. Like Moto was a great example of that. So that's one to sort of put into the calendar there for people. And it's a really good one to get your support crew to put them through the paces as well, right? So there is no rush at all. I think you should go the other way and sort of take a breather and, you know, get some advice and build a bit of a roadmap leading up until February. But right now, like I said before, it really is gym time and boats and gear as well. Again, when you look at the gear list, it's quite overwhelming, right? So now's the time to sort of put all that down on a piece of paper, get a checklist going on, and sort of just slowly tick your way through those things. You don't need to be sort of doing any PBs at this stage of the game.
What about the community thing? Like, now's a really, really good time to reach out and find your local community, because every town's probably got 1 or 2 or 3 people that are doing the coast to coast or something, and now's a good time to try and get that down and meet some new people, and because winter's coming. We've seen that, especially down here in Christchurch, we've seen that just in the last couple of days. Winter's upon us. No better thing to do than actually find a buddy to train with, right?
Yeah, 100%, and that's why the clubs are so great for that. And look, again, social media is a great thing, right? Utilize that platform for what you need. I think there's a Coast to Coast 2024 page where all athletes that are training for the race are on there, and you can connect with local people just like that. I actually spent 4 weeks leading up to Coast this year in Blenheim, and I was connected with people straight away. So it's super easy to do that. So use the social media platforms, absolutely. And, you know, look up your local clubs, wherever they may be, wherever you're located. There's bound to be someone training from coast to coast across this country, right? So, and the community is really cool. Like, we all help each other out. I actually had a bit of drama with one of my boats leading up to coast, and I need to go into that. But
well, I was going to say, tell us about that, Tim. We need to know.
Damn it. Yeah, so I got a little bit excited when I was down in Blenheim, and may have wrapped my boat around a tree 1 week before coast, and that was that's the end of that story. But look, the guys I was paddling with, part of the local scene there, and said, don't worry about it, mate, I've got a boat for you. Boom. And it was all sorted straight away. So, I mean, that's a great example of it. We're in it together, right? So massive shout out to Marty and Blenheim there for that.
Marty, he's always reliable, isn't he? Eh?
Yeah, that's right. The mayor of Blenheim, that's good. So from a club perspective, what do you guys do at the Waitemata?
Totally. So, I mean, like I said before, we've got boat usage, right? So we've got a fleet of boats here that people can try, which is great. And we can connect them with grade 2 coaches. We're not in Auckland, we're not blessed with rivers. you will need to do some river trips as well. So we've got a bit of a community of multi-sporters in the club there that we, once people got their grade 2 ticked off, can do some river trips and organise that and get down and get some river time in, which is really great. Technique sessions as well. We do have coaches that can help you with your technique, whether it be on dry land and in front of a mirror, so really looking at your technique, whether you're sort of a beginner or an advanced paddler, those sessions are really good. Also, Wednesdays and Saturdays, we have sessions. So Wednesday night, we have a 6K race, which is a speed-based session. Usually get the bungees out for that one. There's a few of the old boys there that are pretty quick in their K1, so I can't really keep up with them in the old multi-sport boat. So the bungees get a good workout, so it's nice and even. So 6K, call it a race, but it's more of a bit of a speed session on a Wednesday night. And Saturday mornings, we have a group paddle as well, and that's more of an endurance-based one that can range from sort of anywhere between sort of 12 to 20 Ks. Just depends on who's rocked up and the, you know, what sort of mood we're in. But so there's a few sessions there. And like I said before, like, we've got a good community of multi-sporters there that we got a bit of a group chat going on. So if people are out going for a run or a ride, we're connecting. And you really see that coming to the fore more later on in the year when people, you know, they've got long rides or some brick sessions coming up. And you know, some of those days are long, right? So to have someone next to you, it's a good thing. So, yep. And that's what it's all about, right? Just getting out there and having some fun with your mates. So, yep. Yeah, we've got some good options there. So it's a good little vibe.
Well, nice, I do happen to spend a little bit of time. Sorry, Rich. Tim, I do spend a bit of time nowadays in Auckland with my real job. So thinking that maybe we might be able to hold the odd Team CP run group or something in the evenings like we do here in Christchurch. We might be able to rustle up some interest and see if we can't hold a Tuesday night or a Thursday night sort of run group or something up there your way.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And there's actually quite a few Team CPs in Auckland. One of the boys is around the corner there, literally 200 metres from here. So right. There's a few of us around, so I don't think it'll be too difficult. So we're everywhere, aren't we?
We are. So, we'll put that on the calendar. How about that, Coach Richard? Is that be all right?
Yeah, like, lock it in. Yeah, go and keep them honest for us, Tim. There we go.
totally.
I noticed you said, Tim, keep them honest, not me.
Yeah, I did say that, exactly. Yeah, okay. I guess the one point just that I want to make around for those that are looking at this event for the first time is build a routine. Like, set the expectations across the board. So start, like, it doesn't have to be massive. You don't need to go huge, but just actually on a Wednesday evening, well, that's an evening that I'm gonna be out, sort of thing. So then the family know that down the track. The key thing, I think, that is around that expectations. And if people know that that's what you're going to do, well, then it's fine. It's when last minute, oh, I'm going to be here, I'm going to be there. That's when people sort of don't understand quite so much from a family perspective and trying to keep that balance right. So if you can look to build that routine, even though it might be a bit smaller at the moment, and the expectation across the board, then that'll help you out down the track as well. Just like that.
You're still there, Tim?
I am. Yep.
Yeah. Right. I thought you'd frozen there for a minute.
Yeah. No, good stuff. Any other feedback, any thoughts from you, Tim? Just to wrap up from somebody living outside of sort of the Christchurch, Canterbury area, looking to do this coast to coast thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I said, acknowledges it is a little bit difficult, right, with the lack of access to rivers, but it's possible, right? Like, there's the good community out there. We actually have a massive ocean line, which people may have noticed, and there's rocks that go for Ks and Ks and Ks. So, you know, think outside the box. There's ways to sort of simulate this, the coast-to-coast race, right? Obviously, you can't beat going down and getting on that course and giving it a crack, but there is method to the madness up here as well. There's moving water options as well. We've got a few options in Auckland around Orewa Estuary and down in Karaka. There's some, if you pick the right tide, there's, you know, it creates some wave trains and eddies and all that stuff. Again, at the club there, we can have sessions down in those areas. So there's options there, right? So it's just a matter of sort of acknowledging it for what it is. But how many people that have lived up here have done it? There's been hundreds, if not thousands, right? So it's definitely doable and it's worth it in the end. So,
good job.
Yeah, get out there and have some fun.
Well done, Tim. No, that's fantastic. Hey, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate taking the time to kind of share. Well done for making it to the start line and getting that boat organised. You did very, very well there. And congratulations on your longest day performance this year. And I hear that you've got a 2-day entry that you managed to get a lucky golden ticket for.
I did. I was one of the lucky ones. Got it. Couldn't believe it, actually. I just sort of throw my name in the hat and see what happens. But, yep, so I'm starting to build that roadmap for the two-day event in February. So looking forward to it.
Good job. Well done.
Very good. Awesome. Thanks, Tim. We look forward to doing plenty with you over the next coming months as we lead into Coast to Coast and many other cool adventures. So, like I say, I'll shout out next time we're coming to Auckland and see if we can't put an evening together for people to come and join in. In the meantime, do what you Aucklanders do, and that's sit in traffic.
Yeah, it's a true story, but no, I look forward to that. I'll do that.
Yeah, very good. Well, thanks for joining us, Tim.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, Rich,
Leads me to my question. At the end of season four, we actually said, Angus, I'll just quietly put your name in the ballot. Did you get an entry?
Mate, I didn't even see the wait list. I don't know what's going on. Like, I couldn't even, I looked, yep. It wasn't on there, looked through the wait list, wasn't there either. I don't know what happened.
Well, maybe Glenn cut you. He said he did open the document. Maybe he took cut you off early.
Yeah, so that he probably did. Right. He knows well better than to waste an entry on me, right?
Oh, no, you're an old
one guy. Day. You go away, One day we may make a return. Hey, mate, well, here's another good thing to talk about with Coast to Coast. Obviously, support crew, Team CP support crew. If you are looking for a way of doing this, a way of getting through the Coast to Coast without a marriage breakup, or if you just, you're coming from overseas or whatever you have, don't forget to reach out to Team CP and register your interest for us to provide you a support package. Now, that support package is an absolute fabulous, complete package. Just about, you know, we'll get you all the way to Greymouth. We'll sort your gear out. We'll feed you. We'll make sure you don't sleep in. You'll get on that start line, and if you're doing the 2 day, what's more important is we'll make sure we'll be back on the second day start line as well.
That's right. And like, we had 20 of our athletes from the previous event just been put, like, said, yep, we're coming back. We just need to get an entry. And none of them got entries.
So
the spots there, the spots available. So jump into that. If that's something that you think that you want to do and you want a bit of help with, just reach out to us and have a chat.
It was interesting. They thought that was one of the most important things they needed to do, was register for the support group even before they knew whether they were getting a spot in the ballot. So that says something about how good the support crew is. I guess the other thing, Richard, because like I talked about before, winter is coming. So now's a good time to register for the CP Adventure Squad as well. If you check out the Team CP Facebook page, there's an Adventure Squad where there's, how many of those are we doing? Four this year?
Four different adventures around the Canterbury region, up in the mountains. If you're into that, you need to get into us sort of straight away, like today. We're going to close up very, very soon. So jump into that. Again, that's a great way to meet other people. It's about getting up into the mountains. Myself and Fiona and Matt and a couple of the other coaches, Aaron, will be running that. So a good chance to kind of learn from us and have a safe environment of all different abilities. There'll be walk running, there'll be some missioning, etc., going on. So that's happening too across sort of May, June, July, over that period. There's not really much on in regards to events. So that's kind of event, but not really, because we can be really flexible with where we go and what we do on those particular days. So sing out and flick us a message if you're interested to find out more.
I hear you've even got an international coming for that as well.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. So a number of people from the North Island are coming down, and Ben's coming across from Australia, maybe Eddie as well. So that's going on too. So it doesn't have to be just local to Canterbury and Christchurch.
It is a limited spot thing, so just like the support crew. So please register your interest as soon as you can if you are interested in that. Rich, that's just about the end of our fifth birthday.
It is. It just about is. Yeah. And I guess just that final thing on the coaching side of things, like, if you need a bit of a hand, if you just want to have a chat, like, I've got a book a call button on our website. Just jump in there, find a spot, a time that basically matches my diary with yours, and happy just to have a chat. So feel free to do that. If there's anything that we can do to help, or you're just not quite sure about stuff, if you do want a little bit more help, obviously that's what myself and my team do, is help people get from now to the start line and have an awesome adventure. So feel free to sing out, and we can help you out as you need to as well.
I'm sorry I missed it. That was really omiss of me to miss that out, wasn't it? Of course, because the Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast is brought to you by Team CP, your endurance coaching specialist. Like you say, Richard, that is what you do. Coach the elite and coach the helpless like me as well to help you get from A to B.
The helpless. Oh, no, you're getting there. And guess what? We're building you back up, winding you up. Just look out. Here he comes.
I've been seen on foot running of recent times. It's a rare thing, but apparently it's happening. So, hey, look, everybody.
A couple of comments about, I didn't realize he ran, but no, he's just jogging off.
That's right. Look, time to go, mate. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you all enjoyed episode one of season 5 of the Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast. We will be back throughout the year bringing you more Coast to Coast content, helping you get your way through it. Rich, it's always a pleasure, mate. How's the Kiwi out there? Got the Zwift bike set up ready, have you?
Yeah, Zwift bike's all ready to roll in the paint cave, which I'm standing right at the moment. So yeah, looking forward to getting cracking on to some of that during the winter and just kind of keeping myself honest. It'd be good.
Bloody good, mate. Righto, mate. Well, thank you very much, and we'll see everybody sometime very shortly.
Good job.
It's the best Kiwi event in New Zealand, this.
Crossing New Zealand in 1 or 2 days.
Why do I do it? Because I love it.
Three, two, one.